I'd like you to imagine a rowing team. Imagine there are 8 strong rowers in this team, each one having an oar in their hands, sitting one in front of another in a long, narrow, streamlined boat. Each member of that team is pulling an oar through the water, propelling the boat forward powerfully. As you look along the side of the boat, you can see every oar dropping down into the water and lifting back up in perfect unison. For this team to be successful, each member has to be selected carefully based on strength, stamina, and ability to work in unison as a team. Each member has to qualify to be on the team based on how well they have developed those attributes during their training. There is also a 9th member of this team. This person isn't rowing at all. This person sits at the back of the boat, and that person is called the cox, and he or she takes control of steering and coordinating the efforts. The person to fill the job of cox has to have a different set of skills and attributes to the other team members. The cox does not need to be particularly strong or have lots of physical stamina. They need to be good at making decisions, leading, and motivating. Wikipedia says, "Success depends on the physical and mental strength of the rowers, ability to respond to the environment and the way in which the cox motivates the rowers, not only as individuals but members of the crew." Each member of that team has been through a different set of training, destined for a specific job. Not one member is more important than another. It is a team effort. That is my subject today, being members of a team. Let's think about another kind of team. In a business setting, no matter what the business, there are always many different jobs to be done. A typical business needs people who are good with their hands, people who are good with numbers, people who are imaginative, people who are leaders, people who are motivators, people who are analytical, and people who are problem solvers. A successful business is one that has a mixture of all these types of people and one that uses each individual's skills in the most appropriate way. One business article says these 5 types of people are crucial to the success of a company. A visionary can set the direction. An executioner can bring the vision to reality. A fixer can solve complex problems. A closer can bring new business, and a joker can bring creativity and versatility to the team. Another business theory puts people into 3 overall categories: action-oriented, thought-oriented, and people-oriented. The intention of these theories is to avoid fitting a square peg into a round hole and use people to their full potential, realizing that everyone is different and their training is unique. One quote says, "Great things in business are never done by one person. They're done by a team of people." Another one says, "No one can whistle a symphony. It takes a whole orchestra to play it." Unity is strength. When there is teamwork and collaboration, wonderful things can be achieved. And lastly, teamwork is important. It helps to put the blame on someone else. Actually, scratch that last one. I could carry on talking teamwork and team building and give you a lot more inspirational quotes, and my message today could sound like one you would hear in a business lecture. But there's a lot more to my subject today. In the church, we are also a team. Every person has their part to play one way or another. This is particularly evident when we get together for Sabbath, holy days, and the feast, when a lot has to be organized in a short amount of time. Certain jobs are given out to people who may have some experience in that area, or may have a skill that means they would be able to handle that job well. Jobs such as technology and sound, decoration, music scheduling, administrative tasks. Every person in the church is unique, and each skill can be used in the right position. It's interesting to look back at the different skills of the early apostles. Some were fishermen, one was a tax collector, and one was a tent maker. While most were not highly educated, the apostle Paul was. While their physical skills varied, their characters also varied too. One was labeled a doubter, one was called zealous, and the writing style of each one shows us that each one was definitely unique. You can think of the church as being a team. But more importantly, we are a team in training. We are training to gain the spiritual experience we are going to need in order to play a specifically prepared role in a future team. That team is called the Kingdom of God. The Kingdom of God will be made of specially trained individuals who will be able to work together with Christ in order to bring peace to this world. Those individuals will be unique, not just unique as in not being worldly, but unique to each other as well. Personalities vary, skills vary, outlook and approaches vary from person to person. Not one person's life's journey is going to be the same as any other's. Even though there are differences in attributes, just like the rowing team, that team needs to be completely in unison. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10, remind ourselves that the church does have to be completely in unison, no divisions. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. But while unity is very important, there are also differences between us, differences in gifts that we have been given. Let's turn over a few pages to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God, who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit of the common, for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, attributing to each one individually, just as he wills. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So, here are listed some different gifts given to those in the church. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, distinguishing spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Let's elaborate on a few of those in light of my subject today. Let's think about wisdom. One Strong's definition says, skill in the management of affairs. In other words, you could say it's like a problem solver or a decision maker. Think about knowledge, or one who is maybe detailed or analytical, one who knows scripture inside out, one who knows the law and history thoroughly. Faith, one who is passionate and loyal. Strong says the character of one who can be relied on. Let's skip ahead to tongues. Someone who is maybe good with languages, or maybe we could liken this to being a good speaker, someone who's able to persuade, encourage, and uplift with the use of words, an inspiring person. Or interpretation of tongues, one who is maybe good at listening and understanding someone else's point of view. Now let's just notice again what Paul said. He said, and to one is given wisdom, and to another is given understanding. He's saying that not one person has been given all these gifts. Each one of us has our own strengths. Just as in business teams, Christ is watching each one of us, looking at our strengths and weaknesses, and figuring out where we will fit into his team. Maybe you're a natural leader, or maybe you're good at inspiring, or maybe you're good at listening. Or maybe your strength is being a support to those around you. Christ knows your strengths better than even you do. and he is working right now on forming a position tailor-made for you. I'd like to quote a couple paragraphs from Mystery of the Ages, page 326. Mr. Armstrong says, "No human will be given any government office. All in government office will be divine spirit beings in the kingdom of God, the God family. All officials will be appointed, and by the divine Christ, who reads and knows men's hearts, inner character, abilities, or lack of ability. Remember, God is the supreme one who is love, who gives, who rules with outgoing concern for the ruled. He will rule for the highest good of the people. The most able, the most righteous, those best fitted for office, will be placed in all offices of responsibility and power." Now I'd like to, for my last scripture, I'd like to read John 14 and verse 2. John 14 and verse 2. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Christ is preparing a place for you. Or to word it another way, Christ is looking at you and your spiritual development, and he is seeing the skills and experience that is growing in you, and he is searching out the perfect work placement for you in the kingdom of God, God's perfect team.